June the 9th, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Rod Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elahi Bey. My topic this evening is the Ramadan session, topic, man and the universe has made, created for each other. It's timeless relevancy. Lecturer, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum to you again, and Ramadan Mubarak. In the Quran, Allah Most High says, as revelation through Muhammad to all mankind, especially to the believers of the followers of Prophet Muhammad, Kana ashhusu ala ma'i. The throne was established before on the water. So with that revelation in the Quran, I understand that those people turn bad and their intentions become bad. Intentions instead of good, the bad people get into the picture and get into control. It does not always mean because it is condemned and because they have taken advantage of a natural situation, that that natural situation is bad. It's only there to let us know that a terrible thing has happened, but not necessarily that the situation was bad. It was good in its time, but because of design by the shaitan and his followers of the wicked people, the situation became bad, and Allah replaced it with another. He replaced it with another in accordance with his plan and in accordance with the development of human life as it progresses. As human life progresses and the development progresses, then what was used in the past is not best for the new situation where people's lives have advanced from needing the kind of help or support it was getting before it had advanced where it is mandating or requiring a more advanced or a more progressed situation. Church life is trouble for African Americans. Some people, because of habit and because of sometimes corruption, lack of faith, they continue with something that they know cheats human life or hold back human life from reaching the development that Allah, the Creator, wants for it. And they just continue out of habit, sometimes continue out of greed, and sometimes just in ignorance to continue to exploit human life for self-gain. And I hate to put down our people, and I hate to put down the church. But on the whole, church life is bad for African Americans. I do not like to say it, but I am forced to say it. Church life is bad for our people. On the whole, it just keeps them in the water. And God said that his throne was upon the water. But then he changed it and he says, Wasi'a kasirahu semiwati wal akdi. Wasi'a kasirahu semiwati wal akdi. His throne extends over the heavens and the earth. So this is revealing to us growth for the administration or for the rule of human society on this planet Earth. It is progressing in the time when it depended on fishing in the water of human sensitivity. In the Bible, God showed Jesus Christ beginning his mission, and he went out and he called fishermen to come in and support his mission. They were fishing from boats in the water, and he told them to follow me, and I will teach you how to become fishermen of men. So fishing in human emotion means the intelligence is limited to reflex. Again, here we see Muhammad's life and mission and Christ Jesus' life and mission parallel here. They are very similar. They are running together in that they have the same purpose and the same plan, so to speak. So Jesus said, I will make you fishermen of men. So he was taking them to the land. And what he was saying in that one little statement is that who depends on the human feeling and sensitivity, working the human feelings and sensitivity, the people that they convert to their leadership or to their way are not men. They are fish. A fish's characteristics as a symbol of his life is used as a symbol or as a parable, so to speak. It's characteristic of the quick responses, what you call reflex activity. So when we are describing people as fish, that is what we are saying, that they are on that level where their mind, their intelligence is reflex. You touch me and I say, who is that? Hey, what's going on? That's reflex. Fish, when you notice them in a fish bowl, or if you have seen them swim in a pond or something, they are under reflex. They go in one direction until something gets their attention. Then they quickly respond to it. They either go to it or they go away from it. So fish are known for reflex activity, reflex responses. And people who are given a religion or a religious message or preaching that wants to arouse their feelings and emotions, over a period of generations, the people themselves will become fish, reflex. And if you speak to them, the brain muscles for the rational insight are not there. When you speak to them, they are non-responsive. When you speak to them or give their minds something that requires them to use reason, so that kind of state and the human intelligence is described as thunder and lightning. The light of intelligence is on for a short while, like when the lightning flashes, it is not on for too long. But sometimes the flash is so bright at night, you can see what is happening around you. Allah says it flashes and it goes away. And they are in the dark again. They have to stop again. They cannot proceed. Our people have been worked on so much by preachers in the church that works nothing but your feelings, your emotions for so much over a period of generations. They tend not to want to think. Isn't that pitiful? We tend not to want to think. We just want to reach or react. And I think our preachers know better now. The majority of our preachers, they know that. They are holding our people back. But they are so used to it, and that is their profession. That is their good thing, and they don't want to give it up. And the word of God amongst many of them, the Imam Wallace Deen Muhammad, is against it. So most of them, they do not want to see me. They do not want to talk to me or anything, but they respect me, and I believe privately they love me because they know I love them. I would not want them to change if I did not love them. If you did not love a person, you do not want to see them change to the better state. You don't care. But they know I love them. So in the end of time, one of the signs is that the beast, the great deceiver, will be in his lake on the water, but his lake will be turned into a lake of fire. And he is in it. Now, the lake of fire could be a fire of passion, that destroys people that is uncontrolled, unintelligent passion that destroys people. But the lake of fire could also be the fire of passion against what has been happening to those in that condition. In other words, it could be a fire that best did not ignite. It could be a fire that God planned that would one day come, consume the beast, and that is what has happened eventually. All of this is science on the nature of human life. In the community or in society, and the challenge that life has to face or meet even from the deceiver, and how that life is going to survive because God's plan for it, how it is going to survive all these interruptions, all of these bad conditions, it is going to survive. And the thing that works for the deceiver will be turned against the deceiver themselves. So they work our feelings and our sensitivity and our passion, but there will come a time when those passions rebel against those who deceive the human life. Then the passion that they have fired up, now they have made us a people of great passion, strong passion, a passionate people. So when those passions turn against the deceiver, oh boy, they will have a fire on their hands. That is the prediction of Scripture. Many things are not given as predictions, but they are predictions. They are given as pictures, descriptions, but those descriptions are also going to happen in the end. So really, we are living in that time right now. Look at how the youngsters are. The church can't get them. They won't follow anybody. I'm talking about the rebellious youngsters. They form their own associations, their own organizations. Some of them are criminals. Some are not. But all of them do not want to hear a thing from us. They do not want to hear a thing from the establishment. They don't trust any establishment. And they are very passionate. They are full of energy. They are ready to hurt something. Some of them are waking up and turning around saying, this is not productive or positive, pardon me. What we are doing is negative, and they are independent of us and forming their own leadership. And one day, we are going to see some great men, leaders, come from them. I believe it is already happening. Great leaders are going to come from this abused and misdirected young generation that we have, and when they turn all the energy in the right direction, they are going to be great for their society, for their people, and they are going to be too much for the schemes of Satan. Lake means water turned red. So I see that the beast really burning in his own fire. I can see that he is actually burning in his own fire. And if you study the word lake, they use it for a reason in Scripture. If you look up the word lake, it does not mean clear water. It means water turned red. Now, you know that is not the color of lakes. Lakes have clear water. The water is not colored, but the term says a deep red dye substance has been put into the water. So the liquid contains a deep red dye substance. So that is why the word lake is used in the Bible for the beast, that he will be consumed in a lake of fire, one of the curses upon the people. Allah's throne is universal, not subjective. The topic is the throne was upon the water. The throne had to come from being subjected to being universal rather than subjective. And Allah revealed that his throne that he wants us to establish as Muslims is universal, not subjective. That is why That is why he revealed now that his throne extends over the heavens and the earth, or the skies and the earth, universal. Lake water turned to blood red. So one of the curses that were on Egypt, or Egyptians, who were oppressing the chosen people that Allah, our Lord, the Creator, had chosen for his purpose, was in bondage to Pharaoh. So many curses or plagues came, right? Some of you who read the Bible, you know this. One of them was that the water was turned to blood red. Turning water red also means social teachings. Now, this is what I am trying to do right now. I am trying to reach our people and turn the holy water red, the holy water used by the religious leaders in our community. I want to turn it red. I want to change it from being spiritual teachings to being social teachings. Government works with religion in the ungodly world to control the masses. That Pharaoh who is in the Bible as a wicked oppressor, every Pharaoh was not like that. I studied ancient Egyptian history. Some of their leaders were very good. Some of the Pharaohs were very good for their people. All of them was not like that. It was just one. And that period of time, the Pharaoh of that time, of Moses, the persecution, the enslavement of Moses' people, he depended on very mysterious symbolic religions to hold the masses of the people. He had a priesthood that worked directly with him in government to control the people. Do you know government and religion works together in the ungodly world to control the masses of the people? That's how it was in that time. I'm not saying all churches. I'm not saying all leaders. I'm not saying all government people. No. But it is enough support amongst the church leaders or religious leaders and enough support in the government to keep that thing going. So they have an alliance, they pact, they work together to keep the masses ignorant, babyish. Education is the greatest tool for advancing society. We cannot get where we want to go and get our people where they should go if we just pretend that we do not see these things. No, we have to inform the people. Education is the greatest tool for advancing the society. Education is lost often when developers control it. But do you not think that education is always in academia or in public school systems or in the school established for the people? No. It is lost many times. The main help for the intellect or for the mind of people is lost many times because the world decides education. Do you know the big developers, the big investors in industry? They control government and education. And we only see opposition to them when a bright intellect appears somewhere in the country or a group of them. Usually it is a group because a bright intellect is not going to be happy by himself. He is going to have to find some companion to work with him. So it turns out to be a small group of people who get together and they challenge what is going on. They point at the problem and they expose it, or they seek to get it changed. And if they can't get it changed, then they expose it. And then we see change for the better in the academic world or in the political governmental world. So we see change for the better. But it isn't going to happen without an interruption. Somebody who is right has to be attentive to what is good for the human public and what is bad for the human public. So we have reached points in our growth as a people on this planet Earth, as communities of people on this planet Earth, where the old must be replaced with the new. So this old way of controlling the masses and managing the public has to be done away with. And I know some of, and I know more than your leaders, some of, I know, pardon me, and I know some of you are guardians and having given you a small job in the establishment, and you always think that you know more than your leader. You think that they have given you something higher than what God has given your leader. Well, that is your privilege. But I'm telling you, you can go back and tell your bosses the day is out. It is a new day. Oh, yes, it is a new day. We cannot continue to treat grown-ups in our public and in our residency, our neighborhood, their brains, and their intelligence like they are no more than babies. We have to respect the adult mind because Allah will interrupt your thinking. Yes, He will. He will interrupt it. So the change is now from appealing to the emotional side of life to appealing to the rational side of life, the land. So that is what Jesus did when he said, come from the water, follow me, and I will teach you how to become fishermen of men. That is what he was saying. That was the leadership. Tell me how many was he was talking to. How many did he bring from fishing? 12. So that is the leadership. How many are in the president's cabinet? 12. That is the leadership. So he was calling the leadership of that time. Fishing the water of human sensitivity and sensibility. Now, they were fishing from the water, right? They were fishing in the water of human life, not that water that you go out and there and look for to go and eat in Chicago. Not like, not that lake, not that water. The water of human life, human composition, your sensitivity and your sensibility are both in the water. Sensibility means the ability to sense. Sensitivity means feeling, and sensibility means the ability to sense in your nature. But if they play upon the water all of the time and do not address you as land or as a land creature, you will lose your land, the ability to respond. You lose the rational ability to respond, as I said earlier, and you are just turned up to respond emotionally. Individual life of one person is the key. So the individual life of one person, that is the key. The life designed and patterned for one person is the same in nature for every other person. Do you know when you go to a dentist, he doesn't say, what is your race? Do you have any other race in you before I start this procedure, drawing blood? Do you have any other race in you? I do not want to make a mistake. If you have some Spanish blood in you, no, the human being has human blood, right? Pure, real, true science is universal. It is the same everywhere. So a doctor can't treat anybody, and he does not have to ask, wait a minute, let me go and get my manual on Negro. You are all the same. Your science is all the same, the science of your hair, your skin, your blood, your teeth, your bones, all of your sciences are the same. That's the God who made you. He made all of us the same so that we can be doctored on without a whole lot of unnecessary problems. But when it comes to teaching this religion, oh boy, we want a Negro religion. Give us a black religion. Where is that black religion? I don't want that one. Well, let us take out that which does not help, that does not hold up when tested by truth and science and God's creation. Let us take that out of it so it will be all of our religion. Let's take the white Lord out of Christianity. Isn't that what Allah says to the prophet? He says, say to them, let us come to terms that respect us equally, that we raise not from amongst ourselves lords other than God. Racial image of God regresses the human psyche. Do you think our Quran is not addressing racism there? That is what it is addressing. Now, you all have a white-looking man who belonged to a specific bloodline for a race or a group of people, and you have given us that type and telling all of us that is our God, our Lord. The Quran addresses that in many ways, and when it says, let us come to common terms that respect us equally, it is addressing a Lord that you make, and it serves your psyche to make your psyche super. But give the same law to a black man in Africa, and it will regress him. So the church has to change. Again, the church has to change. Our African-American church, it has to change. They have to change, and we have a lot of help on our side from Christianity now. When I shared with you yesterday that that priest said, there has to be some fundamental major changes in Christianity if Christianity is to survive. I can't tell the church that. I cannot tell the black church that. I can't tell the Baptist convention that. I can't tell the holiness people that. They are not ready for that. But why can't I tell my students and my people who say they follow my leadership? Why can't I not tell you? Stand up in your own soul. So when I tell some of you, you become dead. You die right in your seat. Your thoughts are not moving. The blood has slowed up. This is us. We can change. You can get the old stuff that they ignited in you. You can get it out. Stand up in it. You have to be able to stand up in your own soul. Do you know that? That is what it means that Christ stood upon the water. He was an original man. He could stand up in his own soul. But the average one of us, if the soul gets disturbed, we are drowned by the water. You have to stand up in your own soul. You have to stand up in your own soul. You have to stand up upon truth in your own spiritual life, and as well as in every other form of life, stand up upon truth, whether it is your own feelings or not. And you have to change your feelings and fight your feelings. You have to have a battle with yourself. Isn't that the teaching of the prophet, that the greatest jihad is the jihad with your own self? I love boxing. A boxer has to train for a fight. He has to get himself into condition for the fight. So this is a jihad. You have to turn your soul, your psyche, your feeling, your sensitivity. You have to train your water to support truth in the face of challenges from the world. Coming together as Muslims should answer God's call. It has to be a training program, to put us in the condition necessary to be successful against the challenges. Once we get our own life together and we feel confident that I am organized, I am self-composed for the job at hand, internally, then we are ready to join those who are similar constituted internally to get the big job done. You may say, oh, Brother Imam, you have a job on your hands. Why? Because you are in that state of mind that I was in when I was a young minister, preaching my lungs out, damaging my nerves and heart, thinking I had to get everybody to accept. We only need a few. I think it was Margaret Mead who said, only a few are needed to come together, will organize, and they can change the world, she said. The world has been changed by a few well-qualified that come together. The world has been changed by that few. And she said, not only has the world become changed by a few, but that's the only way it ever happened. That's what she said. So you never should expect that a multitude of people are going to respond to the call of God, or to the call of our prophet, peace be upon him, or the call of our imam. You don't ever expect the multitude to come to that. They are going to sit and listen, and they're going to back and eat Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeyes or something, Burger King and hamburger. They are going back to that, and they will watch the football game or the soap opera, and they are going to be the same old people they were before they heard Imam W. Dean Muhammad in the Ramadan session. Sperm, some not reach the egg. But look at the marvelous sign that God gives us in the creation of the human flesh. Science says that when there is an interchange, between man and woman to produce life, there are thousands, millions of life germs. And all of them have what God designed to become a human being. But most of them do not ever go and hit the mark. They don't hit the mark. They miss the mark. And they are just wasted. They are lost. Only one, two, or very few in multiple births hit the mark or reach the mark. And they say that they are swimmers too. That's what science says. They are swimmers. They are fish. Now, I know that's not the fish, but as a little germ, they move in the liquid like fish. And God has put it in their very makeup and urge a spirit to go where they have to go. They don't have brains yet. They don't have eyes yet. But they know where they are supposed to go by virtue of how they were made by God. They know where they have to go. They go there with all of them trying to get there. But most of them, they don't have the spirit. They are in the oceanic liquid, but they don't have the spirit. So they don't reach it. So that's life. Billions of energized influences shooting from the Quran. Let us look at it. That's a sign from God which reveals that there are signs in the heavens, signs in the earth, and signs in you. That is what Allah says in the Quran. So this blessed book, the holy, generous book, let us apply that then to our reading of what it is happening right now with this work that we are doing. Billions of energized influences are shooting from the Quran. And when I recite it, it is shooting from me, and it is going out there to reach your hearts and your minds. How many do you expect to be developed and become reality? Only a very few. So let me tell you, all who are in the water and you didn't reach the mark, stay in limbo long enough, and we are going to create something that is going to wake all of you up. Yes, I think we have something that is going to give you all a resurrection. Praise be to Allah. So this language is something, boy, that Satan, I'm telling you, he's got into the language, and I know he is having a lot of fun. He has so much fun, he's making me laugh. Resurrection. So that's where we are concentrating now for the completion of this day program or presentation. So we are concentrating on the challenges to us to develop out of a few who can do the job for the many. So that's what we want. And you don't have to be in my immediate presence or my staff or in my circle of workers. No, Allah says, wherever you are, work in your place. Allah says, I am a worker. You don't see where I'm working. You don't see me, but look at the great work that I did and I'm doing all the time. I'm a worker. So you don't have to depend on coming under an organization to do work. Allah knows that some organizations wouldn't want you. Some organizations would be afraid of you. Some organizations would be so selfish, they don't want to share authority and work with you. So Allah says, work you in your own place. Now, you know we are supposed to belong to the masjid. That is number one. We are supposed to belong to the body of believers, and they are carrying out their duties as a collective body to conform to what Allah has revealed for Muslim life. Shahada, prayer, charity, everything, don't abandon that. You contribute to that, but you don't have to be in a place where they pass around the bucket to contribute to that. Sometimes the place where we are going to have prayer and whatever, it has become so unattractive to you that it's just depressing for you to go there. So then you have to do what Imam W.D. Muhammad does all of does a lot. Charity best done in privacy. So you have to see a poor person in the streets, and they ask you for some coffee, money, or some help. You have to make zakat. Do your sadaqah, your zakat right there. Let's get away from that old narrow-minded religion. Allah doesn't want us like that. The Quran doesn't guide us to be like that. You don't have to give zakat to somebody in a mosque or in a place. You can give zakat by human being, by any human being. Allah loves you to have compassion on human life. Emphasize with the suffering masses, the people. Allah says, spend in secrecy and in the open. And the spending that you do without anybody to acknowledge it from your community is a greater charity than the charity you do and get your name recognized under that. Let us be like Mr. Farad. The man was great. Yes. He came in dyed garments, as he said, looking like a cavy. He said he came in wearing the cavy clothes in disguise. Then he said, nevertheless, I will come back. He told his followers that. He preached amongst the people. A lot of you don't know this. For 3 years, most of them in Detroit. Then he went to Chicago and then to Milwaukee. He went to these three places. Mr. Farad himself with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad accompanying him. And there are believers still living who know this amongst us. They are believers right here in this spot with me who know that. They heard Mr. Farad himself preach it. Sister Vanadoc from Detroit was 101 or 102 years old when she passed. And wherever she heard I was speaking, she would try her best to be there in the audience. She heard Mr. Farad. She knew him just like my father did. She was a close friend of my father and mother, too. And there are others who know of that time, too. There are only a very few living now, but there are still a few living who actually got their name back in that time. He said, we are going to get every one of them. Speaking of our people, he wasn't going after just Muslims. And he knew all of them wouldn't become Muslim. But he said, we have 17 million keys. And we are going after each and every one of them. My father said, he said, brother, we are determined to get all of them, each and every one of them now. So this man wasn't even African-American, he said, and he said that and left it with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and leaders that he established back at that time in Detroit, firstly, then Chicago, and lastly, Milwaukee. Then if Muslims separate from black people. So we have experience that makes it sinful for us to separate ourselves from the rest of our people. We have experienced a life together as a people, and I'm telling you, it is just a major sin. Some of us don't know it, but it is a major sin, but you are not punished for what you don't know. It's a major sin for any of us to see ourselves separate from our people. We can't accept that, no. Because what I am individually is because of what we have experienced together, past and present. So I feel like I do, and I'm bothered with because I belong to my people, not Egyptian, not Pakistani, not Arabs, because I belong to my people. That is why I feel and respond. And that is why my spirit is burdened the way it is burdened, because I belong to a people and my genes have a memory of being a persecuted, rejected, tortured, killed in my ancestors before me. We all have this. We all share this in common. Black psyche shares slave experience that bonded us. So this is not a Mexican thing. This is not a Polish thing. This is not a Japanese thing. This is a black thing. So this is an African-American thing. We have one life, and that life is the life of our people. And we have a permanent psyche that is strong because of our shared experience over many generations. I can't ignore that. We have feeling. Do you know we have group identity? That's what I'm dwelling on. We have group identity. And the group identity is more important than the individual identity. So we are in the collective life more than the private life. What make up my identity for the greater part and our groups, our collective life as a people? So I look at my creation now, how it was formed, conformed, and rebuilt. When I look at it, I don't see Wallace, the welder. I don't see Wallace, the guy who was doing the walk at the dance. I don't see him. He's small in my life. But I see Wallace, who has the spirit to establish his life with his people so that his life fulfills a hunger in his soul for establishing as a people, the collective body. That is where I am. And that is where practically all of us are, whether we know it or not. We are in the collective life more than we are in a private life. So we are building the leadership that we need to be successful with our plans and with our life on this earth, that we are trying to bring where Allah wants it. World design always weaker. That design then that design of God. Allah created life upon a plane, and we are left free thinkers, free spirits, to accept to stay with God or to follow the influence in the world. So we have that freedom. But in time, that which is stronger is going to overcome that which is weaker. And no matter what the world desires for our creation, the design is always weaker than the design of God. And in time, the spirit and the people will manifest, even in the individual. But when it manifests in the individual, it is not that individual spirit, but the individual has taken into his heart, his life, and his mind the collective spirit, the spirit of the people. And in time, it will overcome and it will do away with the false creation and bring that creation back, a spirit to return to Allah. So when Allah says, and to God you return, and to Allah you must return, you don't think that means dying in the graveyard? Let's get away from these lesser of important ideas and pictures. We have it in our mind. Oh, yes, he returned to Allah. Who returned to Allah? I saw him put in the ground, and they put dirt over him. What are you talking about? He returned to Allah. His earth returned to the earth. That's what he did. He was made of earth, and we put him back into the earth. But what about his spirit? What about his soul? He left it with us. And it's our obligation to return it to God. And the only way we can return it to God is to return it to the plane and the community plan that God wanted that life to be in, when now it has meaning. Yes, I want to return to Allah. All of us have a spirit to return to Allah. And that spirit will never be satisfied until we have an ummatin Islamiyah following this Quran and following the life of Muhammad as it is being opened up to us now. Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. That's where we are going. We were created to go there. We have got to go there. So we for sure were created to serve the Most High God. I remember our teaching, Jamal Diab Daib. I hope that I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Jamal Daib. He was putting together a little performance like a play for the students to put on an engagement in Chicago under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of course, and under the Temple of Islam at that time. And one part of the play was, in fact, it was the final climaxing of that play. And Imam Danal was in that play. He was a good actor. He was Bilal. He had a lot of stirring roles back then, not in the play. There was no Bilal in this play. But I'm saying as a muezzin, he was still our Bilal. And it kind of went like this. Imam Danel Karim, Imam W.D. Muhammad began to sign in Arabic. So we for sure were created to serve the Most High God. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum. Ramadan Mubarak. Allah's throne is over the heavens and the earth. The age of Aquarius down the U.S. post. As-salamu alaykum. Ramadan Mubarak. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. So the kind of anticipated that some would have to go back home to get ready Monday for their businesses or their job or family, take care of their families. So some did leave, but we still have more than I expected here today. Praise be to Allah. I missed some of the students who are very good students. They possibly could be here, but I kind of doubt it because they usually make their presence known to me. And they're from the East Coast, the New England states area. We have a few very excellent students from the college campuses in that area. Inshallah, they will be able to get a transcription and won't miss what we're getting. I know they want it and need it, and we will benefit greatly from it. The focus for this closing session on this Sunday is the month of October. It is taken from the Word of God in the Quran, the Balanced Community, Ummatul Wasita in Arabic. It began addressing this topic by going back to the beginning of time as we are to prevent or to perceive it through the guidance of God's revelation, that is, through his servant and messenger and prophet, and especially those through the last prophet, alayhi salam, the peace be upon them, and the prayers and the peace be upon him. The snake is talking like a man to God. So when we recall what we have heard or read in the Bible or scripture of the beginning of time for human beings on this earth, we recall man right after he was made or created and put on the earth or in the garden and then in the earth. And he was approached by the deceiver Satan, the Satan, the devil in the form of a hisser that does not talk. It is silent. It only hisses. Adam's nature made him aware of God. So the snake is quiet, different from other animals. The other animals are talking and communicating with one another, but the snake is silent and he hisses. So this snake is communicating strongly. He is talking like a man to Adam, and he is working, as we said yesterday, to give Adam a perception of things, a perception of reality, even a perception of what God intended for Adam, that Adam knew. Obviously, if he didn't know it, the Satan would not have been trying to give him another perception. He already had a perception, and his nature was aware of how he should respect God, the creator of everything. His nature had him know that. So Satan wants to change Adam's perception of life. Now, Satan is trying to persuade him to buy his perception that Satan wants for Adam, or for mankind. When we say Adam, we mean all people. For mankind, obviously, Adam, obedient in his nature, had him in check. He just couldn't behave any kind of way. And he was not open to being easily changed or converted from the way that he had behaved. So the subtlest one, stubble means difficulty to see and difficulty to figure out, difficult to detect, etc. Very stubble, very wise. And we should connect this scene in the Bible, and it is scripture, with saying of Muhammad, the prophet, upon him be the prayers and the peace. He said that God invited the archangel Gabriel in the English to witness his creation that he was planning for human beings, for making the universe, the whole creation, earth, including everything. He said to Jibril, behold, my creation, Jibril, saw it and said, what a wonderful, marvelous creation. How can anyone go astray in such a wonderful creation? I know you have heard this many times, and within an instant, God changed the scene, and the creation appeared as Satan was going to present it. And Gabriel and the archangel saw that, he said, my Lord. He said, my Lord, the first time, too. In the first instant, he said, my Lord. And I'm bringing it to you, your attention, to let you know that even the most important of all the angels recognize Allah, the Creator, as his voice. He said, my Lord, how can anyone go straight in such a creation? Now, these are the two extremes that Satan brought it from. An extreme, he made it so attractive, so fascinating, but his decorating creation made it very difficult for the human being to keep their good moral nature and good intelligence in such a creation. So that is why the archangel said, my Lord, how can anyone go straight in such a creation? So Muhammad addresses religious issues that deviated. So this helps us understand what we're giving before. You see, the prophet comes to address major issues in religion. They came before and had gotten off track to correct the perception. Did you know from Genesis to Revelation, from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas, that these are the great books, these perfect books, if you understand what I'm saying? Oh, the Bible is not perfect. And a lot of what you got out of the Quran is not perfect either. Your perception is not right. But if you have the right perception, you will see the correct language and reading in the Bible. It's perfect. Not all of it, but you will find the perfect language in the Bible if your heart is right and you have the intelligence and the support of God. Oh, yes, you can find it in the Bible. Muhammad found it in the Bible. Oh, he didn't read the Bible. That is what you think. He did not follow the Bible. He did not know the Bible. The Bible was accessible. If it was not accessible, why did he say to Ali, his cousin, who had a Bible, now this is an established hadith, he said, Ali, what's wrong with the Quran that I brought? I think he only wanted to caution his cousin. Ali, may God be pleased with Ali, read the Allahu anhu. That's the traditional saying meaning Allah be pleased with him. That is all. So the prophet knew Ali was not going to convert to the Bible, Christianity, or Judaism, but he just wanted to caution him. All of us need to be cautioned when picking up the Bible because it is very, very stubborn and powerful as a deception as well as pure guidance. So getting back to the scheme of the beginning of mankind, in Adam, the Satan, knew that he had to give the human being a new perception from himself if he was going to gain what he visited, to gain that is complete authority in life of human society. So that is what he wants. That is what he aspires for. I didn't continue it, but perception is the major theme in scripture from Genesis to Revelation and from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas, the last chapter of the Quran. So perception, certain vision, every eye shall see him. So quickly reflecting on the great issues of perception, in the Bible it says, and every eye shall see him. And the Bible talks about light and darkness, the world receiving light and then coming under darkness. And it ends with the whole world becoming light. That's how Revelation ends, and with the whole world becoming light. Everything from everywhere, there was light. It started on the throne, but it went out and filled the whole earth. And the whole earth was filled with light. So light for the eyes. The whole book is for perception. It is to grow the right perception in human beings, especially in leaders, so that they, the world of man, would be established in the best way. Perception isn't that what you go to school for, to improve your perception of things. Isn't that why you want to, you went to college, to improve your perception of things? Yes, education improves our perception, better our perception, and when our perception is better, the life is better. So you just feel so much better. So I'm sure that the garden was not a dark place. I think it was a very bright, well-lit place. Lit with the best light. Perception, every eye shall see him. Why should it be said, every eye shall see him? Isn't it enough to have our leaders see? No. God has put it in the very nature of every human being to want to see clearly, to want to understand. So you are burdened when you have a whole lot of knowledge and you don't, and you do not understand it. That's a big burden. You are burdened when you hear a whole lot of preaching and you understand but a very little. That leaves you burdened. That's a big burden. Allah didn't create you to carry that burden forever. He created you to grow in intelligence, to grow in perception, so the burden would be light. The balanced community, the balanced community. Now I have to make some notes as I go, too. The Satan had a plan, didn't he? Now, when you read in the Quran where it says, and they planned and Allah planned and Allah is the best of planners. Don't just hear that and say that's right. And you are thinking in a little focus, a little small, unimportant situation? No. When you read that, be aware of the greatest deceiver, Satan himself. The Satan that is, that he is, the one who started everything else, to planning in a way to make trouble. And Allah is the best of planners. It means Allah is going to overcome Satan's plan. And when he overcomes Satan's plan, the rest of them are done away with automatically. So Mr. Farad, I sure liked his courage and great wit. He said, can the devil fool a Muslim? Answer, not nowadays. That day just arrived. Those days he was foreseeing, they have arrived. Most of what we perceive has been influenced by the Satan himself. So he is the big problem. Our perception of the universe has been changed. What perceives is mostly influenced by the Satan himself. Even the way we read scripture. For after all, this was a man that God himself created and God himself communicated to. And the Satan is talking to him to change his perception. So he is even influencing him so that when he hears the word of God, Satan says, oh no, he didn't mean it like that way. You should know how God meant that. So you can be free to do great things and rise up even with the God. Now we know all of them are false except one. Again, I like Mr. Farad's wit. He told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, God means power and force. Now, we know this is not correct. God is much more than power and force, but he is what he wanted the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to see. Then he told or led the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to believe that the black man is the God. Well, I guess it's what he was doing. He was checking the black man by giving him a definition for the God in the new language of Desert D. Farad in the Nation of Islam, hinting, the God I'm giving you is not the Most High, not the perfect, pure, and just one. The God I'm giving you is power and force. Yes, that is what I'm doing. and that is my nature. Ever since I was a boy, that was my nature, not to preach so much, but to teach Quran, Bible, designed to help man in all levels. Along with the strategy, his word grows. The more he progressed his plan and strategy, the more his world developed and grows. Now, the Bible says this. To save a lot of time, I'm not going to go and quote everything. You will get it later, inshallah. To save a lot of time, I'm just going straight to the point. But I'm telling you, the Bible and the Quran, both books have it. If it is a major issue, it is in both books. So Bible is a book of knowledge to achieve world dominance. We will. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We will stop there and we will continue this tomorrow, inshallah, if it please God. We thank New Africa, excellent Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.